morning.
Good morning.
We welcome all of you to our worship service this morning, and we're thankful to have the Lutheran Campus Ministry team being with us today. Announcements?
Good morning. I just want to remind everybody that after the worship service, we're staying in here. We don't all have to lock you in, but we will if we need to, because we're going to do the vote for Pastor Randy Scow Anderson to be called for Christ Lutheran Church. So stick around afterwards. We'll try not to keep you too long, but we need all voting members. And I don't see Josh here today. You know, he can vote now. I'm not sure what that's about, but okay, so stick around.
All right, please stand as you are able for a confession and forgiveness. Gathered together in the strength and hope of this community, we come before God with the truth of our lives, trusting in the mercy and love of our Creator. Let us offer our confession before God and each other. Holy God, we know that in so many ways we have run from you. We have ignored your call. We have closed our eyes to your presence. We have disbelieved your mercy. We have disregarded your words. We have belittled ourselves. We have forsaken others. So we ask once again for your forgiveness. We ask you to stay with us as we turn away from what is wrong and hurtful to what is hope-filled and life-giving. Forgive us and lead us forward into your truth and light. Friends, hear this good news. God in Christ walks with us, abounding in steadfast love. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and we are made new. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another.
My hands are really cold. I wish you could hear me, but I'm just going to air bump you. No, my hands are really cold and I don't want you to have to touch them. It's hard to get out of this
I invite you to remain standing as you're able for our opening song, Meet With Me.
Come and meet with me.
our prayer of the day. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we light our Advent wreath.
Advent reminds us that we are waiting for God to come to us, God in the form of the baby Jesus, who lived and died and rose for us. We wait for God who will come again in a new and surprising way. We light the first candle to remind us to wait. From Luke chapter 12, be dressed and be ready for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come to serve them. Let us pray. God, in whom we hope, we wait for your coming to us once again. Strengthen us as we wait, so that we will not lack any spiritual gift. Help us to stay awake to the signs of your coming. Amen. Please join us in singing just verse 1 of Light One Candle to Watch for Messiah.
The first reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give my thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Jesus Christ. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
I invite you to stand as you're able for the reading of our gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 13. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. What a privilege it is to be able to worship with you all this morning, to share a little bit of what we're doing at Lutheran Campus Ministry, as well as worship with you all and celebrate this partnership that we share with Christ Lutheran. I still can't believe that this time of the year is upon us once again, and with that comes lots of planning, preparing, organizing, and waiting. This congregation has gone through its fair share of waiting over the past few years, waiting to see what our next steps are in calling a new pastor, call committee preparing endless hours to interview potential candidates and see which one they feel is a good fit for the congregation, and now this meeting that we're one step closer to potentially calling a new pastor. So, do you feel ready for Advent? Every year, Advent is the season that kicks off the liturgical year by setting a tone of attentiveness and preparation. This season extends open arms to us and invites us to be truly present and alive and aware. Advent is about readying our lives, our hearts, our homes for Christ's presence. Advent calls us and gives us a chance into a renewed and refreshed relationship with our Lord and Savior. It's so easy, especially at a time when Christmas is thrown right into our faces when we enter a store, to rush through the days pretending there will always be more time. It's so easy to put off today what can just as well be done tomorrow. It's so much more realistic to be overbooked, overstretched, overextended, rather than awake, aware, and alert to every precious moment of life. Raise your hand if this describes you right now. Yep, lots of hands. Our gospel reading for today takes a look at just these things that I mentioned. The first Sunday in Advent is, with Mark's gospel, a wake-up call. The Messiah is coming, and he's not coming with a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. The reading begins a bit ominously, though. The sun is darkened. The moon fails to give off light. The stars are falling from heaven. This moment seems to be one of darkness. But just a few verses later, we see the hope that the season of Advent wants us to see. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Wrapped up in a text that, at first glance, may seem confusing for a season that is considered to be joyful and full of light. This text is encouraging us to be alert and awake, to take stock in the gifts and time we are given to celebrate this time as Christians and families. But to be awake and alert is sometimes a lot to ask, especially when we do feel overworked, overwhelmed, and overextended. We may not feel ready. We may feel we need more preparation and more time. So I have a story I want to share with you. Max Lucado's Parable of the Candles. So you can relax a little, sit back, don't fall asleep. If your neighbor falls asleep, just give him a nice little nod and enjoy the message of this story. There was a blackout one night. When the lights went out, I fumbled to the closet where we keep the candles for nights like this. I lit 4 of them. I was turning to leave with a large candle in my hand when I heard a voice. Now hold it right there. Who said that? I did. The voice was near my hand. Who are you? What are you? I'm a candle. I lifted up the candle to take a closer look. There was a tiny face in the wax. Don't take me out of here. What? I said don't take me out of this room. What do you mean? I have to take you out of this room. You're a candle. Your job is to give light. It's dark out there. But you can't take me out. I'm not ready, the candle explained with pleading eyes. I need more preparation. I couldn't believe my ears. More preparation? Yeah, I decided I need to research this job of life-giving so I won't go out and make a bunch of mistakes. You'd be surprised how distorted the glow of an untrained candle can be. All right, then, I said. You're not the only candle on this shelf. I'll blow you out and take the others. But right then, I heard other voices. We aren't going either. I turned to the other candles. You are candles, and your job is to light dark places. Well, that's maybe what you think, said the first one. You may think we have to go, but I'm busy. I'm meditating on the importance of light. It's really enlightening. And you other two, I asked, are you going to stay too? A short, fat, purple candle with plump cheeks spoke up. I'm waiting to get my life together. I'm not stable enough. The last candle had a female voice, very pleasant to the ear. I'd like to help, she explained, but light in the darkness is not my gift. I'm a singer. I sing to other candles to encourage them to burn more brightly. She began a rendition of This Little Light of Mine. The other three joined in, filling the closet with singing. I took a step back and considered the absurdity of it all. Four perfectly healthy candles singing to each other about light, but refusing to come out and share theirs. Advent is a time of waiting. Each week we light a candle to prepare for Christ's coming. One candle won't make a difference in a well-lit room. Even if the room were darkened, a single flame, though more visible, wouldn't do much good. The candle serves, though, as a strong symbol of watching and waiting in expectation and hope through the dark times. Advent is about waiting. We talk to children about waiting to open gifts. And kids, how many of you have a hard time waiting to open gifts on Christmas morning? Got some hands here. Got some hands over there, too. In our lives, we are often waiting. I don't know about all of you, but I often get tired of waiting for war to be over so we don't have to send more people into harm's way. Waiting for the end of terrorism so no one has to be afraid to get on an airplane. Waiting for the end to abuse so that children and adults don't have to be afraid in their own homes. Waiting for the hungry to be fed and the jobless to find work. Waiting for people to sit at the negotiating table to end violence in so many locations around the world. And waiting for our own leaders to come to some helpful compromise. Jesus said, "What I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." We are still waiting, but it's an active waiting. We have to stay awake, be alert, and on the lookout for the movement of God. And together we light one candle, we stay awake, and we watch. Each week as we light another candle, the glow of those candles grow bigger and more prominent. God's sightings are all around us if we look. We see our Lord in the faces of our neighbors. In last week's final reading from Matthew, we heard that Jesus is seen in the weak, powerless, poor, imprisoned, hungry, and thirsty. I think we all know that there are plenty of people in this world that fit that description. So we can see Jesus. We can look in our own community and see plenty of evidence that Jesus is coming and here among us. During this time of year, and perhaps I've been reading the script over and over again since October for rehearsals, my mind also goes to the classic story that so many of us know and love, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Little plug, it's at the Mabel Tainter today and next weekend, and it's really adorable. All right. This is a story of preparing, of being overwhelmed by this grand idea of the holiday we are preparing for and taking a step back to realize and truly appreciate what this Christmas season is all about. For those of you who haven't seen it or heard it in a while, let me refresh your memory. It starts with Charlie Brown exclaiming, "I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy about it. I don't know the way I'm supposed to feel." A disheartened Charlie Brown is nominated to be the director of the Christmas pageant. He casts the characters, works on the music, and then searches for the perfect Christmas tree for the pageant stage. He heads to the tree lot, and among the shiny and well-decorated trees, Charlie Brown picks the smallest of them. He not only picks a small tree, but one that is almost bare, with very little for pine needles. He says, "I think this little green one needs a home. I think it needs me." To Linus's hesitation, Charlie Brown brings the tree back to the school for the pageant, and right away, the little tree is mocked by the rest of the children. They tell him he was supposed to get a good tree. They say, "Charlie Brown, you've been dumb before, but this time you really did it." Frustrated, Charlie Brown exclaims, "I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I don't really know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who can tell me what Christmas is all about?" At this point, perhaps the most famous of all Peanuts lines is spoken as Linus shares this story. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Charlie Brown then takes the tree, decorates it with a single ornament, only to have the ornament completely bend the branch to the ground. He walks away frustrated. When he returns, he finds the tree completely changed into a beautiful and completely decorated tree, surrounded by his friends singing a Christmas hymn. Linus then speaks these profound words. He says, "I never thought it was such a bad little tree. It's not bad at all, really. Maybe it just needs a little love." Even though I've heard these lines reiterated numerous times, this is a message that we can't hear enough, and I can't hear enough. We often don't feel prepared. We feel anxious about a meeting or a job interview or the future of our congregation. I can't count how many times I've felt this way, and I'm sure I'm not alone in feeling that way. What Advent and these stories I've shared with you today all boil down to is one thing: the love we feel from God, not only in this Christmas season, but all year round. To see the good in everyone and give love to those who need it. This is why the reading today and the message of preparing and waiting is so important. Without the preparation of Jesus' birth, we cannot fully comprehend the impact that Jesus' coming has on us. These stories remind us of the healing power of love. This Christmas, may you remember that you are complete in God's eyes. What is it that you would like to happen that isn't happening? Perhaps the answer is that you are not ready. Maybe you need more time to prepare before you are truly ready for that which you desire. Think of today as another chance to prepare yourself for that exciting future you are looking for. Today is not wasted. What or who are we really waiting for? Or is what or who we've been waiting for in front of us all along? Think about that this Christmas season. And when you say, "Isn't there anyone who can tell me what Christmas is all about?" look around. Keep alert. Stop and breathe for a moment. And I guarantee you, you will see someone at work, school, in this congregation, or someone like Linus to remind you. Amen. You can all stay seated as I invite the band back up and join us in singing "Your Grace Is Enough." Please stand as you are able for our prayers of the people.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all your people according to their needs.
That was fun.
Loving God, remind us every day of the promise of salvation and eternal life you give us. Through your work of your Son, Jesus Christ, give us faith to trust in that promise every day. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, you know all our hurts and sorrows. Give healing to all who need it in body, mind, and soul. And inspire us to bring your love and compassion to all who are in pain. Lord, in your mercy. God of calling, we thank you for those in our congregation who give their time, talents, and treasures to support this ministry. May we all continue to answer your call to ministry and to stewardship. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks, O Lord, for the work of the call committee and the council in moving us toward the calling of a new pastor. May you be with us today during our special meeting and give us guidance in this part of the process. May we continue to work together to come to an agreement and continue our mission of spreading your love in this community and continuing to work toward being your disciples. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we pray for our country and for leaders around the world. Inspire them to lead with hearts of compassion and justice and help them work for peace. Watch over those in the military that they may be safe. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Joyous Lord, we give thanks for our youth ministry and for the ways in which we reach young people through Sunday school, confirmation, CIA, and our Mosaic ministry. Bless our ministry partners like Luther Park Bible Camp and Lutheran Campus Ministry in their ministry endeavors as well. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Everlasting Lord, remind us that the church is bigger than our building. Bless the ELCA, the Northwest Synod of Wisconsin, the churches of Menominee, and all churches across the world that proclaim your gospel. Inspire us to take your word of hope and love outside these walls and share it through our words and deeds, no matter where we are. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we'll collect our offering. You may notice in your bulletin there are some envelopes that if you feel you would like to make a donation to support Lutheran Campus Ministry, you can put it in that envelope and place it in the offering plate, or if you'd like to take that home and send it in at a later time, you may do that as well. Let us receive our offering. As you are able, as we sing our offertory.
One, two, ready, go.
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels and with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Come, for all is prepared. Please be seated.
Thank you. Yeah.
Please rise. We join in the prayer after communion. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord. Amen.
Now receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Join us in singing our sending song, Blessed Be Your Name.